Hey everybody, this is session two, and in session two, we're going to have a look at what it is to have Jesus Christ revealed within us. Where once we were Lord of our own lives, what does it mean to have the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior as Lord of us in our innermost being? So we're going to unpack that reality in this session.
Paul started as Paul, but he was predestined. So he was born in the Spirit, didn't even know it himself. Before he even discovers, before he's even born, he's predestined in the Spirit because he's destined in Christ to his Spirit, and God is Spirit, and God and the Father are one. So then he's physically born as Saul. So it goes Paul, Saul, and then he comes back to being Paul, who he originally was in Christ. And that's the same for us as well. And so it goes Spirit, flesh, Spirit. It goes son, slave, son. And this is the challenge. And so who you are at the end of your life is who you were at the beginning in Christ. And yet you're born dead in that middle position. So as we all know, predestined to be born of the Spirit, to be a spiritual being, not Greg Simnor to Alan and Lillian Simnor, but who Greg has always been predestined to be in Christ. Not knowing that when I'm born, 29 years completely and utterly blinded to the reality who I really am, trying to find who I really am in myself, but I never will because I never created myself. So why am I looking for life and identity within myself when I didn't create myself? Mm. And then, you know, have an awakening, a but when God moment at 1997, 23rd of December at 10 a.m. in my workplace. And I start to discover from there, I'm now born in Spirit. Lived 29 years in flesh, and now it's been for the last 25, 26 years discovering what it is to be who I really am because of this but when God moment, because of God's design, and then living that out, which is a forever ending journey. We're never going to fully know the fullness of the knowledge of God, but how much do we want to know? And so Saul experienced this, and that's why he's a pattern for us. Hence he says, imitate me as I imitate the Christ. But how can you imitate if you don't have the man's process?
That's right.
And so what you're looking at is not just words on a page, it's not history. He's sharing his living reality of how he actually went from being dead to alive. And it wasn't from just a mental agreement of a message he heard. He received the one who actually died, and he received the one who rose again. He received the one who always is, the one who always will be, and the one who we can always trust in because he's alive and well. Mm. And that is a powerful dimension of the true gospel, which many in the body of Christ, I believe, are still waiting to receive.
Yeah.
Because all we've really done is make a mental and verbal agreement, like I've said, with what Jesus did because we read a book or someone told us what he did, but we're yet to receive the person himself, the literal being who is the Passover, and the literal being who is the resurrection and the life. And so you can't copy Paul. Why can't you copy Paul? Why is it an imitation? And why isn't it we're just going, oh, well, I'll watch what he does and I'll do what he does?
Well, it's like you said, we can't copy Paul unless the Spirit in him is the same Spirit in us. Well, we can't copy anyway, but what I'm saying is we can imitate if the Spirit of God is in us as it is in Paul. And that's in the beginning, right? That was, God was Spirit. Spirit was in the beginning. Creation happened, and Paul being a typology is absolutely perfect. And for God to allow him to write, imitate me as I imitate the Christ, that's powerful.
Mm.
But God knew that his Spirit was in Paul. So he's imitating the Christ, but Christ is in him. So he's of the same seed, he's of the same kind.
Right.
But you can't copy that unless it's happened to you.
That's right.
Mm. And that's exactly what he's saying, isn't it? He's not saying, I need you to copy all my actions.
Yeah.
No.
He's inviting us to go through the same process that he went
That's
through.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
This will produce the actions from you, but you're going to have to go through the same process, which he then says, I've been crucified.
Mm.
And if I'm crucified, I identify with his death, I also identify with his life, and I don't have to explain that to you because you will see that life in me.
That's right.
Mm.
There's a power at work in me that's brought me to this that I didn't have before.
As there was in Christ.
Exactly. Right. So that's what he's saying.
Mm.
This is what's happened here.
Mm.
This is what has happened here, and you're invited to the same. The trippy thing with this is that has to be revealed, because what I will see is, oh, actually, you know, well, Greg's got it, and Greg does this, and oh, Greg does this, so that's what all else. Oh, now I'm imitating.
That's right.
And I'm not, I'm copying, because the imitation actually takes place in the inner man, and that's the place where more often than not, we don't want to go.
That's right.
And he's going to wait for us to be humble before him unless he steps in.
Because the copying thing is the easy thing, right? The copying thing is of the flesh. We can see it.
Yep.
The imitating thing you can't see, but you have to be of the same spirit, because it's all done in the unseen, which no one can see, but it does come forth from you.
Mm.
And that's what makes it so tricky, because you have to be so discerning. Otherwise, you'll just go, oh, I'll do what Paul does, I'll do what Danny does, I'll do what Maddie does. You know, like, okay, what do? You get up at 6 in the morning, I'm up at 6 in the morning. You read for half an hour, what are you reading? Oh, I need to read what he's doing. And all of a sudden, Danny's got this life, and I'm getting frustrated and really disillusioned, because I'm doing everything he's doing, but I'm not in the life. I must try harder then. I've got to try harder. And then we can perpetuate that, because we do this. You watch me and do as I do, and you do as, you know, and that whole thing. And so how much copying goes on in the body of Christ, as opposed to true imitating the Spirit and what the Spirit's doing? Maddie, thoughts?
If I'm honest, I mean, I think, and if we were honest with ourselves, I think we'd realise that the two are not the same. You know, with the question that you asked previously, where it got me thinking about, like, if I was to copy you, Danny, the truth of the matter is I can't truly be you, Danny, because I don't have the DNA of Danny, eh? But this is the difference between truly becoming him and being one with him, is that he literally says, you can have my DNA, my very identity is yours. And so when we read scripture, do you see yourself? Because if you have received the literal identity of Christ and you've become one with him, that is not separate from me, eh? And so I think that's the difference, is we're imitating and we're just applying a knowledge, but we actually don't have that as me. That's me. Christ and me are one, and I'm hidden in Christ.
Because then it becomes you that's doing it, not him doing it through you, right?
Correct.
And so you're trying to be and live out to a standard that you can't achieve, because we need his divine power, the power that comes through the gospel. We need to live out what truth calls us to, because the truth is eternal, it's not earthly. So the standard is beyond us in our natural ability to be able to do it the way he calls us.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie, have you got for yourself your own, I tried to copy and now I'm an imitator. I realize the difference between, you know, the two for your own testimony.
Yeah, I know the place of hearing about this life that was available in him, then trying to, in my own ability, trying to achieve that by reading scripture and it being empty, yet thinking it wasn't empty, right? Not knowing until that moment of, it was almost like an awakening moment that I was shaken to the reality that you don't have this. You can't, the substance of you is not enough anymore. You know, you think you can love, but can you now see that you can't? And that was a moment that was an eye-awakening moment to even be able to look back retrospectively and see, wow, those were all forms of godliness, that me trying to imitate a life that I didn't actually know intimately. Then began the journey of, well, can you now show me?
And do you see that as a great day that he showed you that, or a negative day?
for sure the best day ever. That was the day that the invitation came. And I said yes to it.
Yeah. And it's so important, isn't it, that we have his perspective on that, because you could get down on yourself, ask questions that take you down dark places and think, well, what have I been doing my entire life then, as opposed to seeing it as an opportunity and God is making me aware of, wow, thank you for showing me that actually this is why I haven't been in life, and then showing me the way to life so I can spend the next 40 or 50 years receiving life and living from life. And so the way we view things is so important, and our mindsets on things that actually see life, not death, you know, gain, not loss. And so often, you know, I hear a lot of loss, a lot of deficit. Oh, what am I going to lose, as opposed to what are we going to gain? Thank you, Lord, for showing me the error of my ways. And I know I had that encounter with him in between 2008 and 2010, in the way I was leading, and just his love, his patience, his kindness. You know, there's nothing like being disciplined by the Lord, which from a place of love, not penalty.
That's right.
And it just produces life upon life upon life, right? Which is true repentance through revelation. He reveals, you turn, you live. And it's life. Just on that note, I just want to grab this book here and just hold this up, because part of this whole, my own, you know, reality with God is to put this down in print. It's not imitate Greg Simnor. It says imitate me. It's imitate Paul, obviously, who was in Christ. And so if you want this, feel free. We give everything away here. We don't charge for anything. And this is all about Paul's life and probably the introduction. And the first chapter are the most important, where I talk about him going from Saul to Paul. And then chapter one is educated under Messiah or educated under man. And once again, two operating systems. One gospel will bring you into the education under Messiah. The other gospel will bring you, man's gospel will bring you under being educated under man. And so as we try to live our lives being educated under man, we go nowhere. We receive a knowledge that puffs us up, makes us feel arrogant, makes us think we actually have something when we don't. But the gospel under Messiah brings the living word, living transformation, and we get to experience a reality within us that we can just live out. Not because we're trying, but because we're just being in the one who is. Okay, there's this really important question in this verse here. It says, and call me through his grace. Now, I think this is probably one of the most misunderstood words in the scriptures and in the body of Christ. So I want to ask you guys, what does it mean to be called, firstly, by God's grace? Paul.
That's a good question. And one which deserves a good answer. And I'll come back to you on it.
Okay, Danny.
Look, I had always heard that the grace being like the unmerited favour of God, which I do believe it is. But there's more. And it's an empowering that actually takes me out of the picture, because it takes a power beyond me. And so called according to his will and by his power at work within me, that brings me out of me. You said before about being set free. And I was just hearing the biggest thing, I'm set free from me. I think about all the world and all the things that sort of hold me captive and keep that all external and all out there, when the reality is he was knocking on the door of my heart. Son, I need to set you free from you. And that's going to take a power greater than you, because I tell you what, if there was another way, I wouldn't have had to do this. And there is no other way. So it's going to take a power beyond you. There's a grace going to have to come in you and lift you out of you. And that takes some humbling to actually get to that point.
I love that. There's a power that's got to come in you that lifts you out of you. Why? Because you're dead, right?
Because you're dead.
You're dead. And dead people can't bring themselves back to life. So in the natural, right, we need
the defibrillators, boom, power, if our heart stops, to bring us that word power back to life. Mm. A dead person, as Danny knows more than anyone, is dead and doesn't bring themselves back to life.
Yeah.
Hence the power. Grace is power. It's divine enablement. So it says love covers.
Mm.
It doesn't say grace covers. Mm. And yet so often when I hear people speak, they talk in a realm that, oh, I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by his unmerited favor, which I agree with you. Yeah, there is unmerited favor. But actually, I'm saved by his power that takes me from death to life.
Mm.
Now, who is the power of God?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. So when I'm saved, I'm not saved by an explanation of what Jesus did per se. I'm saved by receiving him.
Mm.
Paul said, I received Jesus Christ in me. Mm. Jesus Christ is not only the power of God, he's the wisdom of God for all those who are called and chosen.
Mm.
And we've looked at Paul was called and chosen, predestined before. So when he received grace, he received power. He received his Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again. So Paul went from death to life.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't come down the front, receive this today, and I think you've been saved, right? If there is no power in the prayer, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
All the good intention, all the nice words, it's still us. So this grace, saved by grace, any other thoughts you want to add?
It's the sovereignty, and it's a choosing of, it's his will. He's calling Paul. You know, he's calling Paul out of Saul at that time, but it's him calling, right? Again, it's his sovereignty. It's his choosing of. And then like this Paul said, it's, you know, the scripture that talks about the word does not return to God void without first accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. So in the calling and in the word and the presentation to Paul, it enabled him to become Paul and to live the rest of his earthly days as Paul, as he was predestined.
As you were saying that, I was hearing, you know, the call. I was actually thinking of being on a military parade ground, and you know, as you know, I was involved in the Terries and that, and doing that, and doing the parade commands, and calling a whole bunch of troopies across the parade ground, and you can't whisper it; you're calling it out with great gusto. And there's an authority that's actually calling, commanding troops to march and turn them and get them to be where they need to be.
Mm.
And as I heard that, you know, with the grace is the power, the calling, he's not, in a sense, hearing a voice coming to him. He's calling because the power's grabbing him inside. Mm. So he's called. He called me through his grace. It's the grace at work in him is doing the calling and bringing him out. That's something we need to receive.
Yeah. And this is the difference, right, between us trying to be Christians
mm.
because of what we've been taught, maybe raised up in. We've read the Bible ourselves, so we're trying to apply something to our lives without grace. And grace, God's power, is what we need to live out, like I said before, what truth calls us to. So we're called to a higher standard.
Mm.
If the earth can live out the eternal, then what's the point?
Right?
Why do you need the eternal?
That's exactly
mm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to love like Christ, which is eternal, which is beyond me. Right? So, because I'm dead, I can only live with the love of earth, which is a conditional love. As great as we want to say it's unconditional,
mm.
I don't believe that is true, because you put someone in a pressure cooker where the behavior of the one they're loving is beyond that love, and you'll see unconditional love come forth.
Right, you'll find out when it's unconditional, when you've got something conditional to love over.
Right.
Well, we're all married and have kids, right? So we know those buttons have been pushed, and yeah. I'm a big failure.
You just realize your need for the true gospel. Yeah. You realize your absolute need for someone else to enter you through this this power encounter and ongoing encounters. It's not just a one-off that enables you to live, and you know you're the recipient, even though you're not the worker and the builder of it. You know it's not you, which keeps you humble.
Mm.
And you mm-hmm. go, I'm able to do something I've never been able to do. I'm able to love you the way I couldn't love you.
all through this reality called grace, divine enablement, divine power, which is the Christ operating and working in us. So another question for us, and this is fascinating when we break the scripture down, because he says, when God was pleased to reveal his son in me. What does that say to us, when God was pleased?
It speaks to me of sovereignty. He is sovereign. There's a king that is very present throughout the world right now, and he's all over the show. He's got a name. He's called King Me, and King Me needs to be dethroned.
Yeah.
And that's another issue that we're going to deal with, that we have to deal with, because when he's pleased, he'll be able to reveal.
And King Me can exist even though you've agreed with what Jesus did right on the cross.
Absolutely. And I know that myself. Having called out to the Lord and knowing, as good as hearing the Lord audibly speak to me and realizing he came to me and then turning and then following after him, are still needing to come to a point, having been covered by his love and experiencing some amazing things where the Lord has intervened, and growing to know that the Lord was resourcing things for me through life, but not learning that he actually is the source of my life, coming to this place where he then needs to be pleased to take me somewhere I didn't want to go myself, but to reveal the need for my own will to actually be shattered, smashed, crucified, as Paul writes, in order to be born again to life in him, so that now actually he is king. You know, and the biggest part of that is accepting and knowing and receiving his love in me, that I'm accepted, made for him. I'm set free from me trying to achieve that.
That's right.
And can live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's once again what the true gospel of power does, right? It crucifies King Me.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen out of Acts 8 is a classic example of someone who believes, is baptized in water, but King Me still actually lives in his heart. And Peter says, your heart is not right before God in relation to this matter. And the matter was he was trying to buy the Holy Spirit because of who he was and his powers with magic arts and stuff, and still thinking in an alignment to his old man, yet believes, baptized in water, and yet still living opposite to the design of heaven. And we can be this too. I'm so thankful, though, that love covers, right? So love covers grace and powers. And I think if that became part of us, love covers so grace can empower true transformation, as opposed to grace covers. And I'm not really sure what love does.
Yeah.
You know, and as Paul said, right, we want to be covered by love, we want to be crucified by love, and we want to be controlled by love. So King Me ceases to exist. Doesn't mean you still don't need your mind renewed.
That's right.
Doesn't mean you don't struggle with parts of your life and looking at certain things or being tempted in certain things. Paul, the great man who we're talking about, said, the things that I don't want to do, I seem to continue to do. The things I want to do, I can't find myself doing. Did that disqualify him? No, it didn't. Why? Because of this one who we worship called Jesus Christ, who is the power of God that was covering it, saying, move beyond this. And so as we get more power in us, more revelation, we just partake of different things. And those things slowly just fall away. We don't focus on them.
I think because he had actually experienced the life of Christ come in him, bring him to life, he goes on to say, well, who's going to save me from this turmoil? Because if I don't have a power in me to actually save me, I am in the turmoil. I've heard it once saying that, you know, Christians make the most miserable sinners because they're aware of what they're doing and struggling to try and overcome this thing that they can't overcome, because you can't overcome it in your own power. If you are, that's another issue you need to overcome. So it's this downward spiral. But he goes on to say, praise God, it's Jesus Christ. And his life in me sets me free from this, because he's going to outwork a life in me that those things, I'm not focusing on the issues of all the things that I'm doing wrong, but my focus is on him, Christ, who sets me free. And I find those things break away. Now, there may be some time when there's prayers required and intervention, what have you, but the focus is on the life of Christ. And as he forms his life within me, then the scripture says we become partakers of the divine nature. And the divine nature actually produces the fruit that comes out of me. I'm not busy trying to stick fruit on me.
It's good. Thoughts, guys? You got any thoughts around when God was pleased?
One thing comes to mind, that it's pleasing to him to see his purpose fulfilled.
Mm.
You know, being the persistent widow who's consistently asking for this reality to be birthed within. And if you have sight of even, I mean, I don't know if this is correct, but an intellectual understanding that he actually wants this for me.
Mm.
And to then position ourselves to then ask for that reality until that reality is now fulfilled in me. Mm. But yeah.
I think a key one of these I've been thinking about quite a bit is, can someone choose God out of their will that is still them and dead, when the Bible says spirit and flesh are in opposition to one another?
Mm.
So is it God in his time who then has to do what he does to draw someone? So I need everything to be given of God to make a choice for God, as opposed to God loved me before, so now I'm choosing from that perspective. And I think this is a real tension in the body in relation to whether the true gospel does this work that then enables me to choose God, or whether out of me, I'm the one making really the decision for God.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And if it does, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, again, the scripture tells us that we can have nothing except that which is given to us by God. So if I haven't been given it by God, is not from him. So whatever it is that I'm doing, as good as it might be, if it's not him, it's not him. So in his time that he calls, why is it this is it? In the fullness of time, Jesus came. Well, why was it 2,000 years ago? Why wasn't it 3,000 years ago? You know, well, his time is his time. And so I need to settle the fact that God is God. Remember, King me got off the throne. King Jesus is on the throne. And he will make what I need to know known.
That's very good. Because it does say right in Acts that we are predestined to live in a certain time period. And in that time period, we are to seek him for life. And so God has already determined the boundaries of our existence, which once again reiterates the predestined reality that none of us are an accident, that we were all created to be here in this generation for this purpose. This is not an accident today. God foresaw it before we're discovering what already is, and we're living it out as we go, as we're led by his Spirit. And so it says, you know, God must draw all men unto salvation.
Mm, yeah.
Yet so often we can just believe, well, yeah, he covered me, he died for me. Romans says he died while I was yet a sinner. And so now you need to choose God, as opposed to what you just said, Paul, was actually, no, yes, he's done that. Now he needs to give me what I don't have to truly choose him for his sake, not choosing God for my sake from what I can get from God. And I think there's been a lot of that done and a lot of that taught in the give your life to Jesus, as opposed to lose your life for his sake, because he's giving you what you don't have to be able to do that. It's called grace, power.
Mm.
And so now you're actually able to live out the very thing, because God is not the God who dangles a carrot and then says, oh, snatches it away.
That's right.
He says, I give you everything for life and godliness within me. Oh, you're still the God of you trying to lay hold of something you can't through your own strength. And I think there's a lot of that because of the gospel that we've received, which is more about mental and verbal agreement and intellectualism or works, as opposed to what I would call as a personhood gospel, where I receive the person themselves, who is the power within me that gives me the divine ability now to do what he says.
Yeah.
It takes all the struggling, all the straining, all the self-effort out of it, because I've entered into true rest. I cease from my works. I just live.
Yeah.
And that's the good news, right? It's not hard. It's hard if I'm not empowered by grace.
Mm.
it's hard. How could Paul go what he went through and live? He's not divine by grace. The man is beaten from pillar to post and says it's momentary light affliction compared to the eternal weight that's being formed in me through the word, who is Jesus, who is the power, now live.